The Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Let us pray. Eternal Father, who has spoken in various times and in various ways to your people in the past, but in these last days in your Son, the incarnate Word, we pray that you will open the mouth of your servant to proclaim that Word in the power of the Spirit. And we pray that this same Spirit will open the hearts of its hearers here assembled to receive your holy gospel and write on their hearts your holy law, even as you have promised. All of this, gracious Father, we ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The story of Thomas is told on the first Sunday of Easter every year. It is a very familiar story, and in it, Thomas earned his moniker, Doubting Thomas. Thomas is mentioned several times, though, in the book of John. His devotion to Jesus was expressed in the 11th chapter of John, when Jesus planned to return to Judea. The disciples warned him of the Jews' animosity. They were seeking to stone Jesus. And Thomas' reply was, "Let us go also, that we may die with him." At the Last Supper, Thomas could not comprehend what Jesus meant when he said, "I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way where I am going." Thomas's question, "How can we know the way?" caused Jesus to answer, "I am the way and the truth and the life." It is easy for a preacher to focus on Thomas and to talk about doubts. After all, we all have them. But today, I want to focus on Jesus' actions in this lesson. In John's gospel, it is in this appearance that Jesus gave the gift of the Holy Spirit to the disciples. Our gospel writer wrote, "When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit.'" It was the Holy Spirit that led the disciples as they witnessed the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is the Holy Spirit that opens the hearts of humankind to believe in the resurrection, to have faith, even in the midst of all our doubts. Christians confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. Hear these familiar words from the third article of the Creed. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the life everlasting. Martin Luther explained the third article in this way. I believe that I cannot, by my own understanding or effort, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me through the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, and sanctified me in the true faith. In the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it united with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, day after day, he fully forgives my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give me and all believers in Christ eternal life. Forgiveness is also a theme in this lesson. Jesus told the disciples, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. The gift of the Holy Spirit comes with responsibility. I found it interesting and affirming that the Greek words are not forgive and retain, but release and hold fast. I have experienced holding fast to sin and the peace that comes from releasing that sin many times in my life. Forgiving someone who has hurt us is not an easy thing to do. Forgiveness is a gift that God first gave to us and that now we give to ourselves and to each other. So how are we to forgive and why should we forgive? We forgive first of all because God tells us that we must. Desmond and Mfo Tutu, authors of the book of forgiving, say that we should forgive because forgiveness is beneficial to our health. Forgiveness offers freedom from the past, from a perpetrator, and from future victimization. Forgiveness heals families and communities. We forgive so that we don't suffer physically or mentally the corrosive effects of holding on to anger and resentment. We are all interconnected and have a shared humanity. And forgiveness is a gift that we give ourselves. In their book, they present a fourfold path for healing ourselves and our world. The process is this: tell the story, name the hurt, grant forgiveness, and renew or release the relationship. I use this path of healing of a hurt that I carried for over 30 years. First, tell the story. My husband Keith was stationed at Great Lakes Naval Training Center from 1984 to 1985. One night, I drove him to the base for his night shift. When I got home, I parked my car and started toward the door of our apartment. There was a young man standing by the garage. When I saw him, he ran toward me and pushed me and stole my purse. The police came and took my report. It had snowed that night, so they were able to follow the footsteps to a house nearby. However, when asked about the young man that lived there, they were told that he had been home all night. A week later, again, as I was driving home from the base, someone threw a stone through the back window of my car. After that, I could no longer stay alone at my apartment. I was too afraid. When Keith worked nights, I stayed with a friend. The hurt that I felt was a feeling of violation, a nagging fear, the loss of my sense of security. I still find the need to look around and be aware of my surroundings and I still don't like to drive alone at night. I took a class at seminary called Faith, Forgiveness, and Healing, and we read the book of forgiving. I realized that I had been carrying that hurt around and that fear for so many years. I do not know whatever became of that young man. I could not offer forgiveness to him face to face, but I did pray about it, and I said out loud, God, I forgive him for what he did to me. And I felt a sense of relief. You see, I learned that forgiveness is just as much for us as it is for those that we forgive. Sometimes we cannot renew a relationship, so we must release it. I released that relationship. When I forgave this young man, a person who I did not know and who I will never meet face to face again, the fear subsided. I now remember this event without the physical sensation of fear and realized that I learned to be more aware of my surroundings from this experience. In class, we talked about how forgiving doesn't mean that we forget. This is where the retaining part that Jesus talked about comes in, that holding fast. Sometimes we need to remember because we learn from the experience. When we sin against God and our neighbor. We have committed the offense, yet God, the victim, extends his scarred hands to us and invites us to begin the process of forgiveness. Forgiveness is a gift that God first gave to us and that now we give to ourselves and to each other. If the gift is withheld, the result is a broken relationship. If the gift is given, it is the gift of healing and reconciliation. How evident is it that we serve a risen Christ, a Christ with scarred hands that forgave us of our sin and who sent us to bear witness to his resurrection? How can we, who have believed but not seen, bring our truth to others who have not seen and who still do not believe? Faith is a journey. We do not begin fully believing and trusting. Thomas had diverse experiences with Jesus. All of those experiences led to a personal interaction with the risen Lord that kindled his faith. All of us are on our own personal journey of faith. Like Thomas, sometimes we stand firmly beside our Lord. Sometimes we don't understand. And sometimes we doubt what we have been told and need to see for ourselves. Jesus comes to us with the same gift that he gave the disciples and Thomas, the gift of the breath of life through the Holy Spirit. This is a gift that we are meant to share. We cannot remain behind closed doors. Jesus sent his disciples, and he is sending us into the world to proclaim the gospel, to tell what we have seen and what we know to be true. Go and tell others what you have seen and what you have experienced. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen.